Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is the episode covering round 7 results. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is a highlight of the week. So, Josh, have you got a highlight of the week?
Oh, mate, do you even need to ask?
I was watching the darts too. It was amazing.
1975 all over again, mate. 0-5 start, coming through with a stirring win against a resurgent Gary Ablett, and then to just give Adelaide probably the biggest hiding in a quarter, first or otherwise, that I've seen of a team in recent memory.
Well, I mean, it's the second game we'll cover, so we'll cover it in depth. We'll give it a good amount of time there.
We've got enough time?
Maybe. Something I thought we would address straight up is last week's episode didn't get to iTunes until I think it got uploaded about 2 hours ago. So if you've just listened to that and we're covering, you know, last week's games and trying to predict results before they happen, then sorry about that, but iTunes fucked up. But we fixed it, and hopefully this one goes out at a normal time. Yeah. It's also kind of unfortunate because once it finally got uploaded, I was re-listening to it, and we actually spoke a fair bit about Louis Richards in last week's episode.
Yeah.
And gets released now, just, you know, 24 hours after the poor old bloke's passed away.
Yeah, and look, the thing I find a bit hard is that Louis Richards, not eligible for the Legend Status Hall of Fame, because it only takes into account
playing and coaching,
which, you know, you can make the argument for that. That's the rules, and that's their Hall of Fame. That's fine. But to me, in terms of contribution to the game, he's head and shoulders above pretty much any other name I can think of.
A beloved Collingwood captain. Let that sink in. Like, he's a Collingwood captain that people love.
By other teams.
The thing is, it's everyone say, you know, it's so sad, it's such a loss. But he's an old bastard. He's had a good innings. You know, he's lived a full life.
And to be fair, I think the last 10 years, he hasn't really been there.
Been wheelchair bound for quite a bit.
And, you know, a bit of dementia and everything. And his daughter was talking today, and she said, you know, of course they're sad.
Yeah.
Because he's gone. But in terms of, they're as happy as they can be in the situation. Because he had such a life well lived.
Yeah. Kevin Smith says on his podcast, when somebody dies, big bucket of win. Like, he's done a fair bit. You've got to be happy with that that innings.
And how many blokes think when they pull on their first Guernsey, think they're going to end up 94 years old with a Victorian state funeral?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
It may as well be a public holiday.
Staring down his own statue and that kind of stuff.
And look, in terms of achievement, everything he could have dreamed of achieving, he's done. So, look, it gets us all in the end, but he's managed to fill between birth and death with a hell of a lot of highlights.
He's done all right. But anyway, we'll get on to the footy then. In the first game last week, we saw the Saints put in a really stirring fourth quarter effort to get up over GWS. A weird round, actually, because I think everyone said the team on the lower on the ladder won every single game.
Yeah.
And I had a look at my tips on Monday. I got 6.
I got 5, and I was the leader in my tip column.
Yeah, I was the leader in mine too. But I think that shows how bad I am at tipping. That
you tip North?
No.
I was going to say, I did. No.
Okay, well, there you go. I think, I missed out on that one, and obviously two others. I can't remember which other two I missed out on.
Did you get Carlton?
I think I did.
Yeah, I think I had Carlton.
I picked Carlton. I missed out on the Saints. I think I picked GWS.
Yeah, I did too. But, they did look good, didn't they?
Once they got up and running, GWS almost looked exposed at times.
Well, GWS, they're starting to get a few injuries mount up.
And suspensions.
Well, that too.
Obviously, Toby Green wasn't playing.
No, and look, that was a fair cop, I think.
Oh, yeah, he's got no complaints. Like we said last week, he got what he deserved. But Jeremy Cameron and General Patton, Only three goals between the two of them. And the general didn't have much of the ball at all. So I think they did really well just limiting their supply.
And the weird part is, Mumford, I would have thought he would give them all first use. But no, they roved him very, very well.
Well, that's it. They gave up. They said, all right, Mumford's going to get the hit-outs. You know, he's going to dominate. And to be honest, though, Billy Longer outdid him and outran him on the night, too.
Mm-hmm.
He still put his tackles in, though, Mummy.
Rory Lobb was actually more than handy, though, I thought.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of we know. But in terms of hit-outs, Longer, 48 to Mumford's 32.
Yeah, like I said.
Give a fair hiding.
And I think it was his athleticism that really did Mumford in.
Mm.
Not just in the rucking contest, but Mumford trying to keep up with him, running around the ground, tires him out, and then when it gets to the contest, you know, Big Mummy's buggered.
Which has been how a lot of ruckmen have played Mumford. It seems the guys that try and...
You're not going to out-wrestle him, are you?
No.
It's just fucking stupid.
No, there's... Well, I can't really think offhand of anyone that shoulder to shoulder would back themselves 10 times out of 10 to out-wrestle the bloke. Not yet.
No, not yet.
Give Bruce another couple of years.
But it's the like of Akers and Billings that ran riot for the Saints. For the Giants, I thought Stevie J is starting to look like this could be it for him.
Yeah, I've said that before. It looks like he's running in second gear.
Yeah.
I think it's made worse by the fact that GWS have such speed.
Yeah, so he does look much, much slower by comparison to everyone else.
And plus, a lot of his teammates are making those goals that he's made so famous.
Having said that, I mean, I think Heath Shaw's about the same age. He might be a year or two younger, but still got some great run. He's going to be his third season at GWS, and you're just about penciling him into the All-Australian already.
I think they're such different roles. Like,
One's a backman, one's a forward.
Yeah, Stevie J's got to run to make space all game. He's got to try and run off his player, whereas Heath Shaw is willing to just stand on the toes of his opponent.
But he just runs away.
He's got that sprint, but he's got time to get his win back as well.
I think that Stevie J's, you really got to put him 30 metres out from goal, and he can't move from there almost, you know, that position doesn't really exist anymore.
No, he's been running up off the back flank almost.
Yeah. So I think he's going to struggle. And hopefully that... You know, there's younger players at GWS that are putting pressure on his spot.
Yeah, young Josh Kelly's one of those, and geez, he's going to look good in blue and white next year.
The $15 million man. I decided every time he gets over 30 touches, his price goes up by a million.
We've got 28.
Lucky.
He's keeping value.
Well, we'll move on to North because there could be some cap space coming up for North. Before we get to the game, Lindsay's done himself a mischief.
Mate, he is, I think, out for three.
Well, yes. So for those that didn't see it, he got done for a head-high bump in the VFL. And there's no question.
Pure.
It was a head-high bump that knocked the bloke out. And I think the bloke spent the night in hospital too. So he got referred straight to the tribunal and he got 3 weeks. Problem is, the VFL runs a funny schedule. There's two byes in that.
Mm.
So it's 3 weeks that counts as five. Because even if you're suspended in the VFL, you can't play in the AFL.
Yep.
So he's 5 weeks out is a fair old penalty, especially when the sides just put two wins together when you weren't playing.
And look, it's deserved. The only reason he got 3 weeks and not more was because the camera angles in VFL aren't as good as the AFL.
Well, I reckon the one I saw was probably the only camera angle of it. I don't know how it could look any better on any other camera angles.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. It would look worse because it looked like... You could make the argument that it was a shoulder, but from the other angle, it could easily have been an elbow. And especially with that sort of damage, it sounds damage-wise, in my expert opinion, as a paramedic and obviously PET scan expert or whatever. Fuck it. Yes, it seemed like a more elbow resulting than a hip and shoulder.
I thought 3 weeks was, geez, that's the bottom end of what you could expect. But the fact that it turns into five, you go, yeah, it's probably fair enough. When you consider Tom Jonas last year or the year before got six for an elbow to the back of the head.
Yeah.
This five, that's about right.
But to be honest, I don't think it's stopping his getting selected. Because a North team that's two on the trot, and in the forward line you've got Ben Brown, Mason Wood, Jared Wade will come back after a couple.
I think one. Sits out one, yeah.
He's straight back in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dominant.
Yeah, had a blinder.
Yeah, you got those three. And then to come, you've got Swallow, Bruce, And then Hrobat's up there, Jed Anderson. There's no room for Thomas.
Thomas, no. And I picked him at the start of the year. I thought he was going to have a big year, but it's clearly wrong. Because he was dropped on form. And besides the suspension, I think he had 8 touches for the day anyway.
Yeah, he hadn't done much.
So, I mean, yeah, he might have been tagged or looked after, but fuck it. Man. You're meant to be AFL standard. So he might be legitimately done.
It seems like his head's not right. And whether that's a form thing or there's something off the field going on, I don't know.
I think it's just form. I mean, he's had form drops before.
Yeah, but before he sort of had that self-belief where he's like, you know, my day will come. I'll get back into the game in a minute. Whereas now it seems like he's angry at himself for not getting in the game and angry at everyone else.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I thought he was going to shine. But anyway. You
know, he'll be the next Collingwood recruit for a 5-year contract.
Anyway, on to the good news then. And like we said, North turned in, I'm going to say, their best quarter since Scott's been there.
Oh, probably since 99, to be honest.
I mean, 10 goals 2-0 in the first. 10 goals 4.
10-4, yeah. It was, like, I it's not on free to air. So I was listening on the internet radio, and I didn't tune in until probably around 2 minutes to go in the first quarter. And I thought there was a problem with the app.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the app is a bit shit.
A lot of people legitimately said that, that they thought something was wrong until they actually saw it. Went, no, they're just getting killed.
Yeah. So I honestly thought maybe, you know, the score update's not working for the Crow side. And then I clicked on Triple M, I think it was, to get the live broadcast. And it's like, shit, all right. Nope, they're giving a fucking hiding.
And you know what it was? Is everything. I mean, it sounds stupid to say, but they beat them just everywhere. The forwards were dominant and kicking so cleanly. Managing, you know, there's a tough breeze out there.
I know I say it all the time, but Robbie Tarrant is one of the most underrated backmen out there. How he doesn't have an All-Australian, I'm shocked.
I thought he was All-Australian last year.
No, he was in the squad. Didn't get the Guernsey.
You sure? We'll check on that.
There's only North Melbourne's only got one All-Australian player, and it's Todd Goldstein.
Is it really?
Yeah. But the way I saw the highlights, with the breeze and against it, when Adelaide was kicking with it, they'd put someone on the far side of the contest.
Yep.
So when it's with the breeze, you'd have the forward sort of hanging back, getting the ball over the top. Against the breeze, you'd have Tarrant stepping back and taking the mark, which is, a forward is pretty commonly going to try and push the backman under the ball, which is fine, but then he gets too far under the ball too, and the bloke behind him is like, sweet, I've got the ball and rebounding. Or in the other case, he's just grabbed, sweet, I've got the ball and he's off goal side. But this is one of the times where Brad Scott coached very, very well in terms of setting up that structure.
I think so, and you're right, I've just checked it. He didn't make All-Australian last year. That's criminal. But yeah, I thought it was very well coached. Be able to make Rory Sloane accountable as well. Mm. And that's how they beat him up. As well, they put a lot of pressure and time into him because he's been dominating the last couple of weeks, especially.
Oh, he's been a monster.
Goldstein really gave a clinic, I thought, as well, up against Jacobs.
Jacobs, I really rate him very highly, and he did get 35 hitouts to Goldstein's 39, but he just didn't seem to have an impact, to be honest.
Not as much, and I mean that can be said for the whole team, really.
Yeah.
I thought the only downside for North, I mean, besides Wake getting suspended, and a little bit unlucky, but when you have a look back at it, you go, oh, yeah, he's gone. Because he knocked out Tom Lynch.
That's the thing. He knocked him out. Yeah. And look, you could, the arguments I've heard are that, you know, being a Tassie ground and cold, it's harder than regular.
Whatever.
You know, but I don't agree with the suspension. But that is the rule. I don't agree with the rule.
Yeah, that's right. You don't agree with the rule, but they've got the rule. And they've applied it correctly.
Yeah, they didn't suspend him on a sling tackle because it wasn't a sling tackle. They said it was a rough tackle.
Dangerous. Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is, he did hit his head.
Yep. Yeah.
In my mind, the rule should be more about the action rather than the result. Because the same with the Liberatore tackle, with Mumford.
Yep.
Action was fair. The result was a bit rough. But look, it is what it is. And North said they looked through every possible avenue of appealing, including lowering the grade of tackle and everything. But in the end, the best they could hope for was a one-match suspension anyway.
Yeah. So it's, you're right. I mean, you can say, you know, I know they try and say the double movement or, you know, the sling and when you pin the arms. But you're right. That's the rule. And they've been fairly consistent on it. They go, you know what, you're going to wear a week because he was concussed.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, that's the game. And fair enough. I mean, it might not be the best rule, but at least they're being consistent in the application of it.
Mm.
And a lot of free kicks in this game too, especially down the Adelaide Crows forward line.
Well, yeah.
Both ways.
Young Eddie Betts got a free shot. And look, that was dumb from Thompson.
Yeah. What I don't like about that was the umpire even said he put something on top of it. In other words, he exaggerated.
Oh, of course he did.
But that makes me think that once you start throwing those words around, you can get yourself a little reputation. You know what I'm saying?
What happened, Lindsay Thomas?
Well, it did, didn't it? And he got a reputation for ducking and diving. I'm just saying, like, everyone loves Eddie Betts, but if even the umpires are starting to notice it, and it didn't happen just once during the game either, it can start to creep in. That's all I'm saying.
Well, let's be honest. If Lindsay Thomas was kicking those goals from the pocket like Eddie Betts, he'd still be on the side and no one would care.
Exactly, yeah. It's an amazing result that, yeah, I don't even think in your wildest dreams you would have picked, you know, the game was over at halftime.
No, it wasn't. No.
No.
I've seen North scrub bigger leads than that. And I was not comfortable until about 3 minutes to go when it was a physical impossibility. And even then, I was still feeling like, come on, lads, you can ice this.
Well, it's almost that, isn't it? If you get up by 10 goals, you're like, if we lose from here, I'll never hear the end of it.
Literally, that was my thought process. I'm like, look, lads, I had my win last week that I was at the game for. I saw it. I felt good. And I still sort of thought, you know, I've seen my team win, sung the song, life's good. But then to see the team get that far ahead, I'm like, all right, lads, you've done it. You've got my hopes up now. Don't betray me now.
Don't do it to me.
But yeah, the good thing is it was a good win. Losing weight for a week, at least he's not injured.
Yeah.
And it also might be good for his longevity.
It could be.
Little Wagner, though, came in late to replace... who do you replace? I've forgotten now.
I don't know.
But came in late and left early. Because he had a bad ankle, so he's going to be out for, I think, 5 to 6.
Ooh. It's a rough week for injuries, actually.
Yeah, and he's a good little player, too, so it was a bit unfortunate. But Mason Wood, who's come back from injury, had an absolute belter.
He had a great game. But that should be the expectation for Mason Wood from here on in. Now he's got his body sorted.
Well, he's always had that potential reputation, and he's finally starting to deliver. And if we can keep him on the park, he could be anything.
Yeah, well, there's no danger of him getting dropped now.
Shit, no.
He's walk up best 22 from here on in.
And little Froggy Dumont, he had a screamer.
Is he that took the nominated for Mark of the Week?
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah, that was an amazing grab. I haven't seen the results of Mark of the Week yet, but that has to win.
You know what thing that shat me, though? I watched, I think it was AFL 360 on Monday night. That was the only bit they talked about, the North Melbourne Adelaide match, his screamer, 35 seconds, and moved on to the next game. Like, fuck, you got a team just beat the flag favourites that's, you know, round six, whatever, and give an absolute hiding the first quarter, and that's, you just have a quick chat and done.
Wow, it's April 360, isn't it? Robbo's got to hit the bar before it closes.
Yeah, you can get fucked.
But no, it's a very surprising result, and I don't think Adelaide's going to be hurt by it either. I think they'll put it down as, it's just a one-off aberration.
Plus, down in Tasmania.
Yeah, I don't buy those excuses, though. Like, do grounds really make that much difference?
I think it does in Tasmania, solely because it's one of the few suburban-style grounds that have such a breeze.
I'm going to say, yeah, maybe that's it. Like, you don't have that kind of breeze anymore in any of the other grounds because they're so domed. But still, like, it's still the same footy, you know. And it's not like North Melbourne play there every week.
No, that's true.
They only play there 3 times a year. And if it's not windy, then, you know, that takes it out of it. But it seems to be windy every single fucking time they play down there. So
I think what confused me is Proust didn't get the Guernsey. I
don't know what he's done wrong.
Well, he smashed it in the VFL. Yes. Like, this is maybe that's it. Maybe Werribee's finally winning. And they're like, he's not good. Knock a bus. He's going to hang around for a while.
Going for the double. I thought he might have actually this year overtaken Goldstein as their best tap ruckman.
He's got that potential.
But, yeah, he's got great potential, but you've got to play him in the ones.
Like, absolutely.
You've got to let him get beaten sometimes as part of his development. But to me, it looks AFL ready. He looked it in the first couple of rounds when he played too.
Mm. Well, I think his first round he got 19 hit-outs against West Coast. And he was probably his second best on the day. But the next, the round after that against GWS, it was 46 odd.
He had a great game against
Mumford. And he gave Mumford a fair touch up.
Yeah. I don't know what he's done. They're going to say team balance or some shit. But look, I can see a spot in the side for him, Brown, and Goldstein, without a doubt.
Which means, door, mate, your cactus.
Yeah, he's been overtaken quite clearly. Is he playing in the VFL or is he injured?
No, he's playing in the VFL.
There you go.
He's just, look, there's no spot for him.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's it. If somebody can outwork you and outbeat you on talent, then you've got no recourse, really.
Well, he's been at the side for, what, 5 years now?
Yeah, it's maybe six.
And then he was always almost there, and then Brown emerged. And he's almost there, and Mason Woods emerges. Almost there, Pruce emerges. Mate, you're a list clogger.
Yeah, and look, as it comes down.
The thing is, I do want to see him playing because his highlight reel is brilliant. But I can't see him playing at North.
His highlight reel is also available on YouTube. You don't need to see it out there each week.
Yeah, you know it'd be nice. But look, maybe he goes to Bulldogs and gets a flag. Who the fuck knows?
Speaking of troubles with the AFL app, while this game was on, I was watching the Adelaide game, but the Collingwood Carlton was on. The 125 years of Collingwood. There's actually a great article during the week where they took Eddie Maguire, Joffa, God, who were the other two? Peter McKenna, and was it Tony Shaw? I can't remember.
I think it was Shaw. Yeah. I remember. I saw the picture you saw with Joffa with the game over.
Oh, they went to the pub where the Collingwood Football Club was formed, essentially, in a secret meeting. And I thought it was great. And I love those kind of stories and the history behind
the lore.
But the AFL app looked broken because at the 10-minute mark, they were still showing nil all. I switched over quickly during one of the breaks and saw, yep, no, it's nil all. That's the way it is.
Another good banner from Carlton, though.
Oh, aren't they killing it?
They're doing really well. Ever since the... and it's the same bloke who did the Bueller's Day Off hovercraft one. They got panned.
Yep.
He decided... He just had a... That bloke had just had a baby a couple of nights before, so he's a bit fucked up. So he's claiming that was an aberration.
Right.
And blaming the kid.
Good on him.
But since then, he's knocked out of the park. And with this one, they've just talked about all the milestones that Carlton managed to destroy them on in the grand finals.
Well, they said, first off, you know, thanks for, you know, 78, whatever the years were, I can't remember. And then on the back, 125 years since we first beat you. Yeah, thanks, but whatever. I love the whatever. It just that sold it for me.
And then they managed to beat him on the ground too, and look good doing it.
Didn't they? Hustle. It was all about the hustle all day. They worked damn hard. And Daisy Thomas, turning back the clock.
Isn't that the just the knife in the back that as bad a week as Collingwood had, that was, well, that's probably the second worst thing after Lou Richards. But it's even worse to see someone who left you and then... At one stage, you're glad they left, and then to see them turned up on that moment.
I still think that Carlton are behind on that deal. But he's come out, and you saw that he's wiped the...
He took the
clause out of his contract.
But it also means... The clause was, if he played a certain amount of games, he got an extension. But it also means now that they can select him without worrying about triggering that clause.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. The other way was, if I was Carlton, I would have sacked him the next morning. You're not playing anymore, champ. We don't have to worry about it. Fuck off.
Stick the boot in. But, a little Petrovky Seaton got the Rising Star nom.
Got the nod, yeah. And he's had a good couple of games.
He's been very handy. Like, he's just one of those little jack of all trades.
Yeah. Pops up here and... again, like we said with Carlton all year, effort. They can never be faulted for their effort. Execution and skills down, letting them down a bit. But that's what this one was. It was just effort all around the ground.
And look, in the past, we've also stuck it to Buckley for his coaching. And this is going to be no different because...
it's fun.
Yeah, last week, Gibson absolutely toweled up Selwood. Gave him an absolute belting. So this week, Mark Murphy's starting to get a bit of the ball. Nah, fuck it. Just run off him. Gibson never went near him after the first 5 minutes.
Greenwood?
Greenwood, sorry.
I was thinking, like, Gibson. No, Sam Gibson didn't play against him. Levi Greenwood.
Levi Greenwood.
The other turncoat for you. That's what you're trying to think of. Josh Gibson or Levi Greenwood.
Yeah, I had him filed under cunt. So Greenwood, who had a brilliant tagging game against Selwood, who's, you know, no slouch.
Yeah,
Look, in terms of blokes you think can impact a game, right now I've still got Selwood ahead of Murphy.
Yes, yes, I believe that Mark Murphy would as well.
Give it 5 years, it might be different, but at this stage. But why not, I don't know, tag the motherfucker, as they said about Mitchell. Put a cunt
on. Wow, that's what they would have expected. Do the unexpected.
I really hope that's what Buckley's mind frame was about.
I'd love it if it was.
Like Greenwood's gone, boss, should I go to him? No. That's what they'll expect. I want you to run off him.
It's a
you sure, mate?
Blackadder-esque. Blackadder goes forth and, you know, we're going to charge at him just like we have the last 27 times. Really? You're like, yes, it's the last thing they'll expect.
Oh, fuck. But yeah, so Murphy, he did get 30 touches, which was game high, but they were probably 20 quality ones.
Yeah, really.
Not a lot of back and forth. Although Adams, I thought, was really good.
Yeah, Taylor Adams. Especially when Treloar has been the best player for Collingwood by a mile this year.
He had a quiet one.
Yeah, exactly. He had a bit of a quiet one. So if he's been quiet, it's good to show that Adams can step up.
But in fact, you can't rely on Treloar every fucking week.
No.
And they've done that with Pendlebury too. If Treloar and Pendlebury are kept quiet, Collingwood are going to lose.
Wow, I'm going to say they're two gun midfielders. Yeah. I mean, that's going to happen.
But like we've said so often, it's not your best five that win you games. It's your next 15. It's your average.
You say that, but you know, there's some games where sometimes the best one does enough.
Well, yeah, when the best one is just
Buddy
Alpha.
But, I mean, that's a nice couple of wins for Carlton. And Collingwood go from knocking off, who they knock off last week, Geelong, to losing to Carlton. So I think that's going to be the type of year Collingwood's going to have.
Imagine Collingwood's, at the start of the year, when they put their aspiration board together or whatever the fuck they're doing.
Sounds great.
Yeah, and their goals for the year. You'd imagine winning the Anzac Day game.
Yep.
That'd be up there. Yeah, nah. Cross. Winning the 125-year celebration and also beating the Filth. Yeah, cross. Making finals. Those are their three. And, mate, I think it's three strikes and out.
Yeah. We spoke about before you set the line at round 17.
Yeah, I might have overbet.
I could honestly see them going all the way through to round 23 as a matter of principle. And then Buckley resigning. Because I don't think they want to sack him. I think they're going to let him resign.
No, I think he'll resign before the end of the season, just to get someone else in there. And probably studio. But what I'm going to find funny is Eddie's hitched his trailer so much to Buckley.
Of course he has.
Will he just, at one stage, throw him right under the bus?
Wow, really do turn.
Well, look.
It would make a great movie.
Well, let's say Eddie, he's survived in the cutthroat business of football broadcasting and football presidency. So I dare say he does have a few bodies in his way. And there would have been a few blokes thrown under that bus.
He's from Broadie, I'm sure he does.
Because in the end, Eddie, like most blokes who go to work in a suit and tie, is out for Eddie.
Yeah, and, you know, who can blame him?
Well, look, got to get your Mercedes paid somehow.
Don't you? On to the Eagles, which got a win away from home against Port. It's a funny old game, this one, because Eagles always, like, especially on the scoreboard, always looked in control. But when you have a look at the inside 50s, you go, geez, that's a discrepancy in favour of Port.
It was really, the third quarter.
But really, it was Port just had... That's just the way the game was played. It was played at Port's end. Mm. And it's just the way the team set up. And then, you know, West Coast broke out and they had Lacroix kicking goals and Kennedy was presenting well. Even Jack Darling took some nice grabs, which is unusual for him. Well, yeah, I guess it's a mid-season game, really, so he can do that.
But it's funny with the amount of power they've got in their forward line, West Coast, how they don't blow other teams out of the water. But this was also their accuracy is what got them above the line.
Yeah, 15-7 versus 12-15.
Yeah. Although you just reverse that. If Port get another couple of goals and a couple less points, they win. But, you know, you could make that argument any week.
Yeah, I was going to say. And I like playing that game too. I always do it. Just reverse the points and the goals just to see. But I do think that it was a grinding win for West Coast. It wasn't as flash, but Port are a quality side, so there's nothing wrong with a grinding win at all.
I think that's actually beneficial to West Coast. The fact that they couldn't just blast the team away with kicking, you know, five goals in 5 minutes kind of thing.
Yeah.
They were able to grind out a win, which is what teams need to be able to do.
Yep. Big Charlie Dixon's kicked three. I think that's his biggest return for the year too.
Hmm.
And that's no slouch of a back line down at West Coast. So, That's not a bad effort from him, but they need, like, he should be doing that week in, week out. And he's sort of, sometimes you'll have plenty of the ball and get two goals, one, and you just think, well, I'm not 100% convinced on him yet.
Well, a move that has paid off is Wingard to the middle. He got 34 touches.
Being forced into that a little bit because Robbie Gray is injured. And I think they've said that they're just going to keep playing Robbie Gray anyway.
I don't get it.
I think he's too good to play injured. I mean, I know he's kicking goals, and he last week, wasn't it, when he kicked 4 goals, 5 and a quarter or something stupid like that.
Yeah, this week he got 15 touches, and that were decent enough touches, but he's too injured to tackle, and he's the forward pressure just is not there.
You can get away with it against the lesser sides like they did the other week, but I don't know why they insist on playing him injured.
No, I don't get it either. When you've got a bloke who is an out-and-out champion, he's one of those guys who's in the All-Australian conversation every year, and
he's legit top five in the league.
Mm.
Legit.
Give him a couple of weeks off, rest up.
Yeah. And, I mean, they're a side that's going to be looking to play finals.
Mm.
And you don't want to just make finals and say, yeah, we made it, and then go home.
Yeah.
Like, you want to actually have a real crack. And they can't have a crack at in the finals without Robbie Gray playing 80% of the game in the middle.
But if he's playing week to week, it might be 8 weeks till he recovers. And in that, you also run the risk of making the injury worse, and it becomes 12, 14.
Yeah, exactly.
Give him 5 weeks off, let him recover, and then come back and tear it up.
There's probably more to it, but like I said, I just don't understand it. I think it's a bit of a mistake.
I don't know. Maybe he's got one of those trigger clauses in his contract like Daisy Thomas.
Could be something like that. On to definitely the other game I didn't pick the result of is Gold Coast.
Mate, anyone who picks this knows nothing.
Yeah, putting on a clinic against Geelong. The game was close, but it always felt like it was played on Gold Coast terms.
Yeah, I did see if you put a tenner on the round this week and picked all nine, you got $30,000. Gamble responsibly.
Yeah. No, gamble irresponsibly. It's more fun.
Gamble with someone else's money, even better.
Put your house on it. Selwood and Dangerfield both kept under 30 touches. Been a while since that's happened. Mind you, Dangerfield 29 and Selwood 24. So it's got to say that's a win for the young Gold Coast side.
Well, yeah, shit, yeah. Especially when Ablett's managed to get enough of the ball too. He got 32.
Well, which is low for him for the last month.
Well, that's true. Mitch Duncan managed to get a bit of the ball though.
He did. He did all right, didn't he?
He's turning out pretty well.
He's having a good year, Mitch.
Yeah, he's doing really well. I don't mind the way he plays either, to be honest.
No, he attacks the ball hard.
Mm-hmm.
Big Tommy Lynch, 8 shots a goal is a good night out, especially against that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Stacked back line. 3 goals, 5 is a little bit off, but...
Yeah, it's less than optimal, but at least he's having a crack at the goal.
Getting plenty of opportunities. And like we said, you know, you got... Lockie Henderson pulled out before the game. But you still got Mackie down there, and was Lonergan playing? I think he was.
Hmm. What surprised me was Aaron Black was playing after a, well, mediocre outing. But I got a couple of goals, and, you know, wasn't too bad. 15 touches.
Good enough to keep himself in there?
Just. I think what keeps him in is he got 5 marks and 2 tackles. Those are the key things for me in terms of his game, because he's a skillful player, and he always has been, but he's been a bit, I don't know, I'm good enough, I should be picked every week, rather than actually trying to tear games apart.
I think he's a toiler. I mean, that's what he does.
He's got some brilliant snaps. Like, he's crazy talented. He's just not a bloke that applies himself very much.
Yeah. Even though Geelong lost, I think Zach Tui might be putting his hand up as one of the best recruits of the year.
He's done all right.
Yeah. He's, and you knew he was, just the way he plays and how hard he runs. But there's no real surprise there. I think he's just a bit of a champion. But this is good from Gold Coast because they were disappointing last week. So they're bringing out their best for their home crowd, and that can only be good things for them. And now they hop onto the plane, I think, and they're off to China now.
Yeah, the thing is, too, they're starting to play some attractive football. Like, they're not just Amble to Abler every damn time, which, you know, it's still part of the game, don't get me wrong, but when you've got Abler on your team, that's what you do. But the other guys stepping up, like, you know, Hall, Harbrow, Barlow, they're all looking pretty good.
Yeah. The young players like Barlow. Yeah.
The other players.
The other one. Oh, you didn't say young, I just thought I'd throw it in there. On to the next game, which is the Bulldogs and the Tigers. And look, all the talk has been around the last 30 seconds with the deliberate out of bounds. Like I said to everyone, I wish it wasn't paid, just because that last contest would have been great. Just to see him try and irk through a goal with the throw in right in the forward pocket. Look, was it the right decision?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it could have been. But
I'm not blaming the umpires for that.
Yeah.
It's the rule that's fucked.
Yeah. I didn't like it being paid. Having said that, look, the last goal that Richmond got with Jack Riewoldt was clearly holding the ball anyway. So it's probably the right result in the end. But, I mean, those decisions happen. I would have liked to see that last 30 seconds with the game on the line. Mm. Having said that, the kick coming out from fullback where Marcus Adams took an absolute monster of a grab.
Mm. The specimen.
Yeah. With, you know, people hanging off him. Geez, it was a great effort for him to mark that one. But again, another great toiling game from the Tigers. What I was really impressed with, the Tigers obviously, you know, could have won it in the last 30 seconds. Dusty Martin wasn't brilliant.
He had his moments, but I know what you mean. He wasn't...
he won't get votes for this game.
No.
And some of the other, like the Tigers, when they went 5-0, some games they won just because Martin was brilliant. He wasn't brilliant. And if he was, they would have won this game too.
Yeah,
but you're right. He had his moments, but I think that speaks more for a more rounded effort from the Tigers in total.
Hmm.
But you know, if he put up a little bit more, they might have got over the line. But yeah, don't blame him for that.
Butler's goal too.
He's brilliant, isn't he?
How good was that?
He's what a find.
He is looking pretty good. Even with Riewoldt, got four, I believe.
Yeah, kicked four.
He looked pretty good too. But Butler, that was unexpected. He's becoming a real handy name.
I'm just checking it. So he's 20. He might be too old for NAB Rising Star. Because I'm not sure if it's, you have to be under 20 or something like
under
that.
Under 21 at the start of the season.
21. So he would have been under 21 at the start of the season. So he might still be eligible. If so, he should get a nomination before the end of the year. I reckon he's just turning into such a reliable player in his first proper year of AFL. Been on the list for a little bit, but his first time getting consistent games. Stringer's run into a little bit of mischief with his knee, but looks like he hasn't got the worst news. He'll be out for a couple of weeks, though. But that's just what Bulldogs do, don't they? Get injuries, keep going, don't worry about it.
And I don't think it'll affect his game either. He seems like the sort of player where he's not going to think tentatively about the knee or whatever. He's just going to... He's so instinctive, he's not going to worry about that.
He's flat out or not at all.
Exactly. And sometimes it's not at all, which is frustrating to watch.
Yeah, well, he did get dropped last year, but it all worked out in the end. Yeah, not a bad showing from the Tigers. Didn't get the result, but still, I think they're in the right direction.
Well, they're still a little scrappy, but compared to where they were probably last year, or even the year before, I think their game plan is coming together nicely.
Yeah.
And a little Daniel Rioli, too. He's when you're entering the field with Rioli under your name, well, as your name, it's a big thing to live up to. I think he's going to.
On to the next game, which is the Swans putting it on against Brisbane. I was happy with this one. Unfortunately, I didn't have a bet on the game because I don't gamble at all. Just rarely do. But if I had an account, I said before the game, Buddy's going to kick half a dozen at least.
In fair, you say that every week.
I do, but this week I was right, so that's why I'm pointing it out. I always point out the ones I get right. The ones I got wrong, I pointed out as well. Lindsay Thomas, I picked for a big year. Turns out it's not going to happen.
Have a big year in Werribee.
It was there for Bud to take over, and geez, he kicked, I think, four in the first or something like that. and four for the rest of the game, and kicking it from everywhere.
Well, they did talk it up a bit, though. Like, he's dropped one from the edge of the square. Like, oh, he's gone 80 metres. I'm like, hang on.
Yeah,
it's about 10 metres beyond the 50, and it's bounced through. So let's not gild the lily. It was a great goal.
Yeah, there's no need to exaggerate.
Yeah.
Like, a 60-metre goal is fucking impressive.
Yeah, yeah.
Just leave it at that. I'd like to do an instructional for people new to the game and show them, you know, this is the arc. This is the 50-metre mark. This is 50 metres from goals. One step further, that's 51 metres from goal. One step further than that, that's 60. You know, one step beyond 60, that's 75. And that's how the AFL works.
So we need like a glossary.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so when you say, is Dave going to play this week? You know, there's a 50-50 chance.
Yeah, which is a 70-30.
Yeah, but he's not. He ain't playing.
You know, we're taking this one week at a time. Fuck knows what we're doing.
Coach doesn't even know.
Yeah.
Who we play next week?
The Swans were always going to do this eventually, though, weren't they?
Well, it was against Brisbane.
Yeah.
So, and it was still at the SCG. So, this is what...
But, I mean, they lost to Carlton last week.
Yeah, yeah. But that was...
at the MCG.
Which is, you know...
Different.
A better ground that they play. When you're at home against a team that is so far below where they should be, yeah, like Brisbane were, and like Sydney were, I suppose... Sydney have the team that they should be just doing this to, yeah, everyone at the SCG, which sets up next round for an amazing round. But even so, I don't think the Lions were actually pantsed as badly as one. I think Pepperoni, he had a decent one.
I like him. I've always liked Pepperoni. He comes in and out a little bit of the side or of form. But he's played a couple of good games against Hawthorn, especially, so that's why I notice him more.
Yeah.
You go, yeah, he's not too bad. You know, that Pepperoni kid. Yeah, he's all right. But for me, the Swans, still some problems there. Like,
many.
Their midfield didn't dominate, and they still haven't dominated this year. Like, Josh Kennedy only had 20 touches, and he's usually 30 before he wakes up. And it was the first game back for Jared McVay, and playing a little bit down back when the ball's not there as often, but still just the 15 touches. You know, only Lukey Parker got above 30, but he looked good, though.
Yeah, I feel sorry for Parker. He's the bloke that's been just crucified by a stupid ad.
I don't think he cares. I think he's doing all right.
Do you think every time they're sledging him on the field, they're just like, Parker?
I would. I'd be doing it right in his ear every chance I got.
Yeah, mate, you're on Parker.
Oh, really? Do I have to stand Parker?
Oh, the poor bastard. I
think that, you know, you can do that to certain players and try and sledge them. And, you know, it'll come up in a couple of other games later on. There's a few players you don't sledge. And I think, like...
Buddy Franklin's one of them.
Buddy Franklin's one of them for two reasons. One is you don't want to get him fired up because when he gets in a mood... He basically tells you what he's going to do. I'm going to swing around on my left and kick this from 60, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it. But the other thing is, if you're going to try and sledge him, then you have to explain it to him. And it's just, it takes so long. Sydney have finally started, and hopefully they won't go too far from here. On to the next one.
On to the robbery of the round.
The robbery. No, I don't think it's a robbery if you leave your car open with a sign that says keys in ignition. And that's what Melbourne did, especially in the first quarter. They were woeful. I couldn't believe how bad they were handballing to stationary targets. It looked like Hawthorn of every other week.
Melbourne are a frustrating side. Look, the argument being thrown around is, if they had Gorn, if they had Spencer, they'd have won. Yeah, they didn't.
Yeah, if they had Robbie Flower, if they had Ron Brassey, you know. They're not playing, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, if you had the cheat code on, yeah.
And it's not like Ben McAvoy dominated either.
Well, he did. He had, 50-plus hit-outs?
Yeah, well, that's not too bad.
That's the most dominant match I've ever seen. 53 he had.
He's had a good couple of weeks. But he wasn't the difference in the two sides. I thought, actually, Hawthorn played pretty poorly. There was... what they are really failing to do is... they get a mark on half forward, is hitting that little 20-metre lead-up straight down the lines. They're just not... they don't have confidence to take that kick. So what they're doing is just go back, nothing. All right, I'm going to kick it 50 metres down the line to a contest. And the difference was Hawthorn took marks. Timmy O'Brien and McAvoy took about 10 contested marks between them.
O'Brien, especially in the last 10 minutes, was brilliant.
He's amazing.
I think the last 10 minutes, Hawthorn did play the way we've seen them in previous seasons. which was mainly get it to Burgoyne, let him do something smart.
There is no better player ever in the final 5 minutes of a game than Sean
Burgoyne. That's fair call.
And he just does it time and time again. And that last foray forward where he was the only one that picked up the ball clean and sidestepped through, and then the final contest when it came in high and long, and Ruffy just went, I am thumping the shit out of this. Mm.
I think it was one coming through, I think it was a Will Langford goal.
Not bad.
That was pretty good.
Not bad. Especially for a bloke that can't hit a target anywhere else on the ground. To hit this little dribble kick. What was amazing about it was he had time to consider it. And he had to think about it. Because you see those dribble goals when they bend it around, where a few players just throw it on the boot and we'll see what happens. Mm. He went, I want to pass it. Fuck, I can't. All right, here we go. And to do it through traffic was just amazing. And everyone made the comparison to his goals in 2014. So if he can find that form again, I'll be very happy.
I think sometimes, though, with those dribble goals, the success is so unlikely that there's no pressure on it.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, the pressure's off.
Especially for a bloke like him, where you're like, come on, mate. It's like the other week we were at the footy and old mate behind us has gone, Hanson's got no fucking chance kicking this. Yeah, bang.
Exactly. Yeah. It gave a little smirk. The funny thing was, Langford was actually dropped for this game too. Only got in because Jaeger O'Meara was injured again. Mm. Who would have thought Jaeger O'Meara would miss games through injury this year?
Yeah.
Without anything happening.
Unfortunately, you might see Pedo drop out of the side as well. He's when you get spanked by McAvoy, it's not good for you.
Yep. Well, he's a forward, though. He's not a ruckman.
No, but he's playing that. And him being there does free up Jack Watts.
Well, I thought Jack Watts did all right in the ruck contest.
Like, I thought he's better than Pedo.
Yeah, he wasn't thrown around, which you'd expect playing against a bloke 20 kilos heavier. And it's probably more an indictment on McAvoy, to be honest, that he wasn't throwing him around.
Yeah, he's not quite mean enough.
Yeah, a little bit too slow. But I thought it was a half-decent game from Jack. Do you know what I mean? He's doing that, I'm not a ruckman, but I'll do it if I have to roll, very well.
Well, he's doing a ruck rover
roll. He's found his calling.
And honestly, I've said it before that I think it's the lack of expectation on him.
Could be.
Because since day one, he's had this expectation/bullseye right on his back. And now it's like, look, mate, I know this isn't your role, but take one for the team.
Maybe a bit of it too that people have forgotten that he was the number one draft pick. And that stigma that goes with it. You know, or that expectation, I should say, rather than stigma.
Well, I guess he's the number one draft pick that hung around.
Yeah, yeah, that too. Having said all that, I thought Frost playing fullback or centre-half back was just about best on ground for Melbourne. And his running in straight lines through traffic was amazing. When you get a rebound out of the back line for that, unfortunately, some of his teammates couldn't help him out.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. The other one I liked was Jordan Lewis. He almost was the difference in the end.
Yeah, he very nearly was. Geez, he's such a cool, calm and collected in a crisis. And that reliable left boot for set shots.
Sometimes it seems he's too cool. Like, he's got a player bearing down on him. He's 40 out, and he just seems to sort of take his moment, have a breath, and then put the ball in the boot. And you're thinking, mate, you're about to get fucking tackled.
Hodge does the same thing. They're both like that. It's a quiet confidence.
Yeah. Well, to me, it's like when you're driving, you have a bubble around the car.
Yep.
And you have a space, you leave in front, space beside, whatever. And they have that bubble around themselves.
Yep.
For a normal player, someone gets within that 1 meter bubble, they're like, fuck, got to kick it.
They panic, yeah.
Whereas for Lewis and Hodge and some of those blokes like it, they've got a 10 centimeter bubble, and if they're like a meter out, he's like, ah, got another step.
Yeah. Yeah. There's Josh Gibson used to be like that. Unfortunately, the people just aren't respecting his bubble anymore. And he got caught holding the ball at least three times.
He is a liability at the moment.
I think so. He is the lucky one that Birchall's been injured again. Mm. He's going to miss nearly 2 months because I can't see what's justifying his place in the side over Caden Brand.
Now, the thing is, you can be a contributor, and he has been for several years. And then you can be someone who's not contributing enough, yep, which he has been for the first few rounds. But then you've got someone who's a negative on the side, who's actually turning the ball over more than he's getting the ball.
Yep.
And to me, that's where he's at.
I'd have to check his official rating points because I know that can go into the negatives. He might be dangerously close to zero on those rating points. But you're right. I think some of the times, like, he didn't look like he belonged. And even, you know, he managed to free himself up to be the third man up in contests, and he just couldn't get the height needed.
Mm.
I mean, fair enough, you know, Hogan and Pedersen up forward are quite big targets, but yeah, that's the way it goes.
How old is he now?
33.
I'm probably going to get a 2-year contract at Collingwood then.
Yeah, 2 or 3. Yeah, not too bad. And the final game of the round was the Dockers and Essendon. I'll be honest, I didn't think Essendon would put up this good of a show, but ran out of legs at the end.
Well, it's to be expected. Yeah. Essendon still aren't quite there.
Well, as I said, you know, the emotion's going to get them for the first couple of months, but once that emotion wears out and the grind starts getting in for a team that hasn't played together all that much.
But still, the expectation that they've achieved more than they thought they would this season. The Anzac Day game was, to me, enough for them to say this season's been good.
Well, round one and Anzac Day.
Yeah.
That's what they wanted. Round one was the big emotional one. Anzac Day is still, you know, the tent pole on their season.
I mean, trade time at the G as well, but I don't think they're going to... It's not as cutthroat with Richmond.
But for Frio, Bradley Hill had his best game in purple. Geez, I'll tell you what, we could do with some run from him at Hawthorn this year.
He's been good all season, though.
Yeah, he's really enjoyed it, you know, being home and playing with his brother, even though I think his brother was injured this week.
Mm.
He picked up, what do you have, 30-odd touches?
Hill, 37.
Just the 37, yeah.
With a sneaky goal.
And out of that 37, 30 kicks.
Yeah, a lot of those were on target. So he had a good...
put someone on him, you reckon, you know?
Well, he had 62% efficiency, so he's done pretty well there.
Yeah, okay, that's down a little bit, actually, isn't it, really?
Only 3 contested possessions, which means...
outside.
Put someone on him, but if he's got a metre and a half on you, you ain't catching him.
But, yeah, you say that like only 3 contested possessions, but that's his job.
Oh, shit, yeah. That wasn't criticism.
No, it's just the way
he's playing the plan he's supposed to play.
And he can't get contested possessions because, you know, a stiff breeze would blow him over.
Hmm.
And
that's Fife's job.
Yeah.
Well, Fife had 15 of his 26 possessions contested with a 77% efficiency.
Isn't that amazing? That
got that BT stats.
Yeah. Frio have put in a hard-fought effort, Fife was third or fourth on their list of possession getters.
He was efficient, though. Like his possessions, every one of them mattered.
And he gets watched, obviously. That's why Lachie Neale can get out for a lazy 40.
Yeah, he was going at 80%, so he's even more effective.
And what about the marking of Tabana? Been waiting for a long time for that, Frio. I think he's almost more dangerous than Cam McCarthy.
You reckon?
Yeah, at the minute, I think so. Well, I mean, and I literally mean at the minute.
Well, yeah.
He's still, you know, he's had his ups and downs in the past, but he's putting it together this week at least.
They got a sneaky 4.
It's not a bad effort. And that was strong marks he took, which can only bode well for him.
Yeah. And Danaher decided to actually go in the middle of the sticks this week.
How'd he go?
3 straight. I think he had an out full as well, but you know, whatever, 3 straight. That's good. That's what the scoreboard shows.
Well, he needed it after, what did he, 1-6 or whatever it was?
I think it was 0-6.
0-6, was it? You know, and maybe the difference last week too. So, look, it's a step in the right direction for him. They'll regroup this week when they're back at home. So,
yeah.
All right, well, that's round 7. Shall we look forward and give our expert tips for round 8, seeing as we were, you know, both leading our tipping comps last week? So first off, we got West Coast at home to the Bulldogs. That's a tough road trip for the Bulldogs, but last time they were there, of course, they knocked them off.
This is a tough round in total, to be honest. That last round was tough because of so many upsets. This is because so many could go either way.
Yeah. Including this one, the West Coast Bulldogs.
I'm on West Coast just because it's at Domain Stadium.
Yeah.
And I think Bulldogs coming up for a six-dayer. It's going to be a bit of a tight one.
I think West Coast as well. You know, at home, like you say, is such hard. But I think they might be able to stem the running of the Bulldogs. They'll make the most out of a small ruck advantage. Obviously I love the West Coast midfield. So to West Coast there. Hawthorn are hosting the Lions down in Tassie. Mitch Robinson's out for a good couple of months, which actually takes something out of the Lions side. So you'd expect Hawthorn to do this one, but Lions have been putting in some plucky efforts.
The only reason I'm tipping Hawks is because it's down there.
Yeah.
Down in Tassie.
Well, we lost by 75 last time we were there.
If this is at the Gabba, I would have honestly tipped the Lions. But no, I'm... I
might be with you on that one, you know.
The wild card for me is Stephen Martin. He had a good week this week
yep.
With, I think, 40-plus hit-outs. I think it'll give McAvoy a fair touch up.
It's going to be a test for McAvoy because he's had a good the last couple of weeks.
Against numpties.
Against nobodies, yeah, exactly. Well, not the last couple of weeks, but the West Coast game and obviously last week against Melbourne, who were sporting no ruckman. So if you can make him accountable, that might hurt. Etihad Stadium for St Kilda and Carlton. Could be tough. I think if Carlton can drag St Kilda down, they're a chance. I'm not going to tip them, but they're a chance.
I think if Carlton are willing to outwork the Saints, which is fucking tough because the Saints work hard.
Call. Yeah, they are a hard-working, hard-running side.
It's going to be whoever is willing to just sweat themselves to the point where they're bleeding.
Yeah.
And both sides will be seeing this as a winnable game, and both sides should be trying to win this game. So I'm going to go the Saints just because I think slight edge in momentum.
Saints, I don't believe that they'd take this easy either. And that's the only way that I think Carlton can outwork them, and if Saints underestimate them, but I think they're too much on a roll, and they'll get that one. There are probably two teams, maybe three teams in the AFL that the Giants have legitimate hate for, and Collingwood's certainly one of them. And they'll host Collingwood at Spotless Stadium on Saturday.
I honestly think the Giants could make this 100-point thrashing.
I'll go north of 70.
Yeah, which probably means they'll get done, but. Though, if there's one game this round where you think this should be in the bag, this is it.
If it was 100, do you think the pressure goes up then and it puts a clock on Bucks, or is he just absolutely no worries?
Nah, he's on the clock already.
Yeah.
I think he's got probably maybe a month. If he gets no wins until the bye, he's Cactus.
Yeah, it could be tough.
But if he manages to get one or two, he'll go through probably till round 17.
Essendon and Geelong at the MCG. Essendon will have rested a few players last week. And the Cats coming off back-to-back losses too. So on paper, it's 3rd versus 12th. And I think it might look like that.
I think it's going to be a bit closer with Essendon players coming back a bit fresh. I still think Geelong are going to have it. But I don't think it'll be so easy for them. I think they're going to find it a bit of a tough going for a bit.
I like the Cats' tools. I think they're going to... And Joey Danaher is going to be against some real talent too, especially if Lachie Henderson comes back. I think he's been very handy as a key position backman for the Cats, but if he comes back, that'll change things.
They play their backman down the back.
Yeah, that as well. Melbourne and the Crows at Adelaide Oval. Geez, if there was ever a week I wouldn't like coming up against the Crows at Adelaide Oval, it's this week.
They're going to be angry at home and wanting to come out of the blocks like fucking red, pissed off bulls.
Melbourne should be angry as well for the effort they put in last week.
I think they're going to be embarrassed.
Traditionally, they play okay at Adelaide Oval, or at least I thought they did. Viney needs a big one. I'm going to put a prediction that Adelaide wins and Jordan Lewis gets suspended again.
Entirely likely. I'm going to put Adelaide up, but I think they're going to give them an absolute fucking hiding in the first half and probably get about a 5-6 goal lead and then just cruise from there. Because Adelaide aren't worried about percentage. They're worried about coming in number one with wins.
I'll disagree only on that last point because Adelaide do not let up at home. You know, we saw that against the Tigers and they started like... It wasn't just percentage. I think it was more players looking at their individual goal tallies and thought, fuck it, I'll take a dip here.
Well, I think that was it. They were still in cruise mode.
Yeah.
But they were like... All right, cruise it. Give it to Eddie. Let's see what happens. Fucking bang. You've done it again.
Yeah, Eddie's due for a big one too. He's had quiet games where he's still kicked three, so he might have a loud game where he kicks eight.
It could absolutely happen.
The Tigers are hosting Fremantle at the MCG. Now, this is the game for the Tigers to get back on track.
Well, it's interesting though, because the way the teams match up, the outside run of Hill with Hills, if other lads back, with Fife giving the ball out to them, it really stacks up well against Richmond's lack of frantic pace.
Yeah, it could very well do, but...
But you've got to get that ball out, and you've got Dusty Martin running around.
I mean, the thing really going for them is it's the MCG, and traditionally, you know, Freo struggle there. I think they've already lost there once this year. I'm trying to remember who they played, but it's escaping them now.
I think it's going to be a fantastically interesting game.
Yeah, there's a lot to see in this game. Nankervis comes back, and him and Sanderlands would be a good test.
Although, to Nankervis. Be honest, is was it Oleg or
Soldo.
Soldo.
Yeah.
He was really good.
Yeah.
He was,
for his first game.
First
not bad.
Hit out. Considering he was pretty much hired on the back of being Marich's cousin.
And 200 centimetres.
Well, that was it.
That helps too.
Hey, my cousin needs a job. How big is he? Almost 6'8", 6'9".
Done.
All right. Yep. Sounds good. Get him in.
We'll get the mad Russian who's nearly 7 foot. He's not Russian. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Whatever.
Goes with it. But, I'm gonna tip the Tigers.
Yeah, I'm with the Tigers. Have we tipped everything the same so far? I think
no,
we have.
We probably.
That's fucked.
Well, I'm tipping Freo then. No, I'm not Tigers.
Well, I'm going Suns next round. So,
the Suns versus Port in China. On
no, it's China.
Yeah, whatever. I think that Port are going to have to try and make a statement in this game because they fought so hard to get the bloody game over there. But I'm tipping that the crowd favourite Suns will go down in this one.
See, I'm going for them just because I think the Suns are more likely to pass customs.
Don't get me wrong. I want the Suns to win because I think that'll be hilarious. I'd love it.
I might actually tune into the Today Show. He's on the Today Show, isn't he? Not Sunrise? He's on one.
No, he's on Sunrise. Yeah, right.
All right, I'll tune into Sunrise then.
No, you won't. You'll wait till watch the YouTube clips.
Probably. Fucking but look, what Koshy has done here, I fully support.
Yep.
In moving the game to China, getting exposure around the world. Love it. Yep.
What Gold Coast have done here to stand and wear their home guernsey, I love that even more.
Absolutely.
I love it.
It's Gold Coast home game.
Yeah.
So when Kochi's come out and, you know, tried to throw his urine about and said, if you don't change, then you won't get to play. Like, yeah, we will.
Okay.
Well, you won't play next year. And the AFL's gone, well, that's not really your call, champ. He's like, well, it's not going to happen.
You're not our friend.
I'm not your best friend anymore.
Unfollow. the final game on Mother's Day, and there you go, everybody. There's your warning, Mother's Day next week, is... North and Sydney at Etihad Stadium.
See, this will reveal
could
each
be a
team.
Fascinating game.
This will reveal the season of each team. Because North, coming off a 0-5 start, had a fucking tough first half of the year.
I keep saying, though, the signs were there. They were going in the right direction, even though they were 0-5. Mm.
But their second half is very fucking soft.
Yep.
Literally every game is winnable. And a lot of those are against, I think they play the Saints twice, Carlton, Brisbane in the last round.
Sorry, second half of the season.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
So I don't want to get my hopes up because they fucking do this all the time. But it's one of the ones where if North win this game, finals are on the cards as a goal.
It's 3-5, if they win this one.
Yeah, but their run is very fucking soft. They could easily, well, not easily, they could conceivably going into the bye with not losing from there on. And then after the bye, a couple of losses here and there.
It's good to see you're not looking ahead, though. Just taking it 1 week at a time.
Well, no, because at the start of the season, I thought if we can get through with one or two wins in the first six rounds, we should be good. We got one.
You got two, and you thought, yep, that'll do.
Pretty much. It was
fucking home from here.
It was at the low end of expectation, but, you know, keep a lid on it 1 week at a time, blah, blah.
Tarrant v. Buddy is a great matchup.
He's got a good record against Buddy.
He does.
It's going to be interesting.
You know what? I'm glad this game's at Etihad too, so that there's no rain or anything like that. So it'll be, in theory, a cleaner game.
Well, in the in my defence, the way I was running with my thought process, if North does win this, they take on Melbourne at the G, Melbourne having no ruckman and North having six.
It's their strength, yeah.
They take on Carlton at Etihad, which, you know, it's one of those... tough games, but
still tough.
It's still one that North should win.
You don't know which Carlton rocks up.
Yeah, and then you've got Richmond at Etihad, which, again, which Richmond walks up, you don't fucking know. Then you've got Saints, which, you know, they're all around that mark in terms of, it's not one that you'd have a slam down win, but it's certainly one where you can expect to do well enough to win.
I think you're going to walk into that one as underdogs.
Oh,
somehow.
Probably. We walked in the last one on underdogs. And then you got Saints, which, well, again, is a definer.
Well, that's the thing, though. I mean, you just knocked off the undefeated Adelaide, who are in red-hot form.
Yeah,
so anything's possible.
Let me get fucking carried away for a minute. Bulldogs in round 14, which is, you know...
Move to the next one.
We can tell there's a loss. Suns, Upper Metricon, but still should give them a touch-up. Dockers at Etihad. Probably go in even money there.
Dockers at Etihad, yeah.
Yep. Port Adelaide Oval, probably lose that. Essendon, give them a bit of a touch up, and then down in Tassie, Melbourne, and then the run home is Collingwood, Hawks, Saints, and Lions, and probably split the difference and get two of those. So that ends up with about 14 wins, and North finish about seventh.
Okay, I'm surprised you just stopped at 14, to be honest. I could see how you could get 30 wins out of the rest of the season.
Oh, look, I'm in full flight at the moment. And fuck it, I was entering this season thinking there'd be nothing for me to look forward to. But I think I'm pretty sure I tipped Proust to emerge, so I'm one up there.
He's killing it.
He's done brilliantly.
Killing it.
So, yeah, once we manage to pick up Dusty Martin, Josh Kelly next season, flag.
I'm going to say, and Fife's going to play VFL for you?
Oh, look, he'll have to earn his spot.
Or you're that's who you're going to trade Majak for. Majak for Fife, straight swap.
I tell you, if they fucking do that, whoever signs off on that trade at Frio is getting a job at us next season.
You could try that trade on AFL Evolution, and even the game will go, come on, champ, come on, come on. The fuck are you doing? All right, that'll do us this week. Hopefully this episode actually gets uploaded before the game start this time. So anyway, like we always say, go to the Facebook page, see us on SoundCloud or on Twitter, clickingballs.com.
Yeah, if you see anyone at the game wearing the MRP-approved Good Bloke shirt, give us a wave, because that's probably us.
And yeah, well, it definitely is. So buy one, you bastards.
Right. See ya. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.